for staying alive in Greenwood, South Carolina. How you doing today? Hey, I'm Ann Eller, right here on another candidate talk here this afternoon. This afternoon, my very special guest is Chad Cox. He is a candidate for the sheriff's race, and of course, that race is up on Tuesday. You have until Tuesday to make up your mind. So I hope you'll find that this conversation we're having this afternoon useful and interesting. If you have a question, you can call Telephone Man. He's on the line, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. So, Chad Cox, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, ma'am?
Very good. So you want to be the next sheriff of Greenwood County?
I do want to be the next sheriff of Greenwood County.
And why is that?
I've always wanted to be the sheriff. I went to work there in 1999, and it's what I've always wanted to do, and I want to make the community better, best, and the safest it can be.
Now, one of the things that I was noticing when I was reading over your background bio is that we could actually say you worked from the ground up at the sheriff's office.
That's correct. That's correct. We went there in Sam Riley Hiders in 1999, started out in the detention center as a detention officer, worked my way up to a transportation officer, then a day-to-day sergeant of operations before going on to uniform patrol. Then I left uniform patrol to a short stint in warrants and family court before going to criminal investigations. Then in 2009 is when they started the Greenwood Drug Enforcement Unit. Moved over there in 09 and stayed there to 18. During the time I was there, I was an agent, then I was a sergeant of operation, sergeant, which is the assistant supervisor, then I was the lieutenant, which is the actual drug commander, before leaving in 18.
Well, you know, I can remember many conversations with Tony Davis, Sheriff Tony Davis, on the radio about that if we didn't get prepared, we were going to have a drug problem that was big here in this area. And over the years, I think back to those conversations that I had with Tony, and I've watched, and it seems like the drug part of our community has just exploded.
It has. And that's the whole, you know, it makes him look really smart. Makes Tony Davis look really smart. You know, I hate to admit that, but it does.
Right.
But we've got away from doing the drugs and the gangs equal the violent crime, and that's where we're at today. And we've got to get back to the proven and traditional styles of attacking the drugs to get a hold of it.
Well, you know, one of the questions is, why do we have such a big problem of drugs right here in Greenwood, South Carolina? Well, I mean, we're a relatively small town.
We are a small town, and we have big-time crime right now. And to me, big-time crime is big-city crime is cities that have interstates, and we don't have interstates, so we should not be seeing this.
Right.
And I think a lot of it has to do with we've tried some things that haven't worked, and I think it's not working now, so we've got to get back to what works. And to me, that's
like getting back to the basics.
Back to the basics. We've got to get back to the proven traditional methods of investigating and enforcing illegal drugs.
Well, should you be fortunate enough to be the next sheriff of Greenwood County, what would be the first thing that you would want to do?
I think we got to, like I said, reestablish our strong and aggressive narcotics division. We've got to get that going. We've got to
Do we not have one now?
I think we have one. Tony Davis, speaking of Tony, he created DU, which was a combination task force, city, county. They don't have that anymore. So I think they're doing it a little different than what we do. It's something they were trying. I don't think it's working, in my opinion. But we've got to get, like I said, we've got to get back to doing the old style drugs, you know, going after drug dealers and not after the users.
And of course, how would you go about doing that?
Well, I think what you do is you get some guys in here that can go back to doing the undercover work, to getting the agencies, building cooperation between agencies, federal and state and local agencies, to go after the drug dealers.
I guess you need snitches too then.
You need people that live in that world. I mean, we can't go to church and get them. You know, we have to get out there in the world of the drug realm and find them.
You know, I know that in my some conversations that I had when I was telling you where I was at and everything, and you were very familiar with our area over here.
I was.
And we've had the issues of drugs right in this area where we're at with the radio station.
That's correct. We've done several things in this area and have been successful. It's the drug stuff is not something I created. This is time tested. It's happened before me and it'll happen after me, and other agencies use it, so it works.
So you would think that if one of the first things would be to get back to hardcore drug searching?
Yes, ma'am. I think we get back to the hardcore narcotics division. We establish, you know, try to get some violent crime stuff and gang stuff and intelligence units going, to keeping up and keeping a rapport and keeping a report of everything that we do.
Do they not already have the capabilities of doing that?
I think they do. I don't know that we don't have a gang or an intelligence unit. I think we need to do that. So their primary responsibilities is to keep real-time tracking of all the gangs and stuff, because the gang and the drugs go hand in hand.
Well, and then they're soliciting the young people.
Correct. And that's where we got to go for the other side, to get back into schools with the younger generation, like the DARE programs years ago, and try to get the younger kids that maybe don't have the best home life, we can give them good role models and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that sounds like you'd need a lot of people to do that, a lot of staff and everything.
Well, I think you got to get these school resource officers up. I don't think we have, definitely don't have enough of those. I think there's some things we can do to checks and balances and make sure that what we're doing at the sheriff's office, we're maximizing our people's time, because I think sometimes technology has took some jobs and we've not kept up with times, and so we need to get going on making sure that everybody, we may need to move some people around.
So reevaluate positions.
Reevaluate positions.
Okay, reevaluate the positions. Then the other question is, I understand that we're running short on positions of people to fill the positions at the sheriff's department.
I think there's been quite a few, you know. Definitely, I'm sure money's an issue on some of that. We've got to get training. But I think you got to be consistent with what you do. As we talked about it earlier, I started out in the jail and I worked my way up through to the Uniform Patrol Division. I think sometimes they still do that, but I think sometimes we don't do that for everybody. We're not being fair. So we need to do that. We need to we really need to get back to the basics of treating people and training. We got to overhaul our training to keep them there. You want to train them well enough they want to leave, but you want to treat them well enough so they stay.
Did you make that up, or is that a phrase that's been around for years?
Actually, that's been a phrase that's been around. And funny thing is, I used to be I had a sign that hung on my office wall.
Yes.
So it's just common sense, mostly.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah, anybody in business has heard that one, so that's a good one. So getting back to fighting crime with the drugs and everything is a big one for you. Also, the violent crime. I mean, we just can't seem to go a very few days.
Correct.
And we're going to know that there's going to be a shooting. There's going to be something going on, and most of the time it involves guns.
Correct.
How do we get a handle on the guns?
I think it goes back, and I harp on this a lot because of the drugs. I think you go after the drugs, you're going to get the guns, and you're going to get after the gangs. It's all hand in hand. And, you know, I think there's things we can do as far as once we get guns, bringing in ATF, the feds, to try to take the gun cases, to take them federally, to maximize their penalties and all that.
Okay. Well, that's something I hadn't heard. Is that, would that be a common way of doing things?
I think so. I think we used to, and I don't know about now, but used to, we had great working relationships with ATF, DEA, all the federal stuff. You know, you got to expand out, because the drugs aren't here, made here, they're brought here. So we have to reach out to outlining agencies, whether state, federal, local levels, to help us. To work as a team.
Well, it is interesting when you look at how the drug trafficking goes from Mexico to South Carolina.
Correct.
It's a very interesting route. I've done a lot of work with an organization called FAIR that is for Fair Immigration, and about the drugs and how they come into our country and across the border and up. Why South Carolina?
Well, I mean, you got them coming up, and then you got them coming down, coming down as well. So we're like right in the middle.
Exactly. So. All right. So you want to get a start really working on that. You think that'll make a big difference. I think a lot of people would probably agree with you that we have to do something about the violent crime. We have to do something about the drugs, the guns with these literally kids running around with guns and with drugs.
That's right. I mean, now I think back several years ago, we took. I think the youngest I took off was a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, something like that. It's real youngest. It's not what we need in our community. This is not what me and my wife both grew up in this community. We raised two boys in this community. Not what we're used to and accustomed to.
Exactly. So then you talk about training. Training as in sending guys and gals to specific training camps, for lack of a better way to say it?
Either sending them to camps, bringing them, classes there, bringing instructors in to teach. I don't think you can ever have enough training. And I don't think the best officer is only as good as his training is. And we've got to get more training involved.
Yeah, exactly. So so training is another big one. And then, back in the day, we used to have the neighborhood watch. We used to have a community. I think Sonny Cox was the neighborhood resource person, and they coordinated and they worked really well together.
Well, and that's something we want to do is get a community watch going. Kind of goes right along with our community advisory board, because every community is different. Neighborhoods. Like
right.
What you have in Troy might not work in Promised Land or Ware Shoals or 96. So you got to get these advisory boards, because these people, like me, I've lived in Hodges all my life. What we do in Hodges may not work in Bradley. So you get some folks together and with a rural deputy program and get it going so that they can all work together hand in hand. The community policing thing is more than just putting a rural deputy in a car and putting him in a zone. It's a partnership between the public and the sheriff's office to work hand in hand to make their community better and safer.
Well, not only that, just within some of the different neighborhoods that we have here. Mm-hmm. We used to have that neighborhood watch program.
Neighborhood watch program, National Night Out, kind of goes along right around with the DARE program, getting back into schools. It's stuff that's, we're not reinventing the wheel. We got to get it going again, I think.
Now, as far as what is the chief position of the sheriff? What is the mantra of the sheriff? What is the sheriff supposed to do?
I think the sheriff, he puts together a team he is ultimately the top law enforcement officer in the county. So it's his responsibility, whether it's city, county, whatever, to make it as safe as possible. So you have to, he's got to put people under him to get these, to put a command staff together to make sure everything's executed, and then he works with county council to get the budgeting stuff to get it what he needs.
Do you think if we were fully staffed here in Greenwood that we have enough sheriffs, in this case the sheriff's department?
Sheriff, you talking about like deputies?
Deputies. If we were fully staffed.
I don't think fully staffed now is the correct number.
Okay.
I think fully staffed now is, when I went there in 99, it was five deputies. There's not much more than five deputies on the road. I'm looking at expanding the Uniform Patrol Division. Now, this is over a four-year period of 10 deputies, three supervisors, a K-9 unit, so total of 10 on a shift. And a shift goes from 6 a.m., 6 p.m., 6 p.m., 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So, then you add your rural deputy program in there. You're going to add more, but this is over a period of time.
So you're not looking at getting in office and then going and saying you need to have three or four more officers.
No, I think you get in office, you got to get your game plan together. You got to sit down with council. because, like I said, we went there in 1999. There's five deputies, not much more than that now. We've just not, to me, we've not kept up with time. Because you imagine what the call volume was in 1999 versus what it is in 2020.
Well, look at the number of businesses and whatnot that we have, and the population and the different areas, particularly the lakeside area, has grown tremendously.
Tremendously. So, yes. you know, and that it goes back to we've got to get those numbers built up.
You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that the crime statistics that we have in Greenwood are eventually going to keep people from coming here if it's not gotten under control.
People, and I've had this conversation with several folks, they said, well, it's not affected me. Well, it is, because people, new doctors, new lawyers, new educators, new businesses want to come here. They're going to research. And they're going to say, whoa, violent crime, I don't want to come here. Which, as you, Miss, you have a radio station. New business comes here, he's got to get it marketed out. So he's going to come to you and get you to advertise for him. So that's going to cost, that's costing you money when new businesses don't come here.
That's right. So I think that is, and if you've lived here all your life, you just go, what's happening here?
Correct. And that's like I go back to it. Me and my wife talked about it, and we were raised here, and we raised two boys, and it's
hey, you slot to have to lock your doors.
Hey, Mom and them kept the windows up and the attic fan going. You know, that's the way it was back in the day.
Yeah, and of course times change, and now we look at things. You know, Chad, just talking a little bit about what our country's been going through right here, right now. I don't think there's a person alive that has said that what happened there to George Floyd was totally heinous and wrong. But I kind of, at my question is, how could we have a situation where other officers didn't pull him off or say, you've done enough? Or I don't understand that part of it.
I don't either, because I've been in situations that you have to control the situation, whether it be the community or the officers or everything. So I think it goes back to, we start out making sure we're hiring the best. And you talked about the shortages earlier. Sometimes maybe we're hiring quantity, not quality officers. Mm-hmm. We've got to get back to quality officers, and we also got to get back to making sure we've got the best training feasible. At the end of the day, if I'm sheriff, I want the best of everything. I want to be the best uniform patrol division. I want the best training in the state of South Carolina. I want it all, because at the end of the day, the officers are only as good as their training.
Well, that puts a lot in your lap.
It does. And I'm ready for
it. What makes you qualified to do that job?
What makes
Chad?
Me qualified?
Yes.
I think I'm qualified by the years of experience, the different divisions I've touched. It's also knowing that I don't know everything. And you take your weaknesses and strengths, and you put a team together, and you know their weaknesses and strength, and everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, and you combine them to make the perfect team. You know, but at the end of the day, it goes back to doing this advisory board and reaching out to the public. We've got to get the public involved, because the community, at the end of the day, you want a safe neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants a safe community.
I want to know if I need response that they're going to be here.
That's right. That's right. In a very timely manner.
Yes.
And there, that's where we got to get back to. We've lost our way a little bit, and I think I'm the man to lead us back to the best.
Have you had enough experience working with people? I mean, having people under you to work?
I think I have. I was honored early in my career to be the sergeant of day-to-day operations of the detention center, which runs four shifts, plus you have anywhere from 150 to 200 and something inmates, you know. Plus, you know, I was able to do be the commander of the drug unit for a while. So I mean, I think it has. Plus, being a volunteer fireman, I was actually fire chief for a while. So been there, was an elder in the church for a little while as well.
Yeah.
So
okay. All right. Well, what other things? Now, what about this community advisory board? What's that?
Pretty much, we want to get the public involved, because I think each individual area has their own problems and different. What we do for, like I said, Hodges may not be what we do for Troy or Promised Land or Country Homes.
I mean, who's on the board?
Well, I think we have to reach out to the public once we get it. I don't have all the bugs worked out of that yet. But reaching out to the public saying, what do you need? Tell me what you need so I can try to figure out what we need and what direction we need to go.
But would these be just regular folks, or would they be community leaders? Or
I think you put it out there, and I've got to research more of that, and that's still in the learning process of it, to get people that care about their community, want what's best for their community, and that way they can tell you what you need in the community. In their community. Like I said, it may be Hodges, maybe Promised Land, maybe Troy, Bradley, whatever. So we want to get them where they have a say. They will have a voice in what's going on in their community.
You know, I'll bring this up. There is a question. We had that march here yesterday, the protest yesterday. Black Lives Matters ran it. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about relations here in Greenwood?
Honestly, I think we've not had no bad stuff going that I know of, or any officer bad stuff on officers. But there again, I don't think we do a good enough job letting the community get involved, reaching out to the public, and letting the public be have say so. You know, I think, you know, like I said, there's some times that we need to sit down and have those tough conversations.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, I think that goes back with building that advisory board and reaching out and saying, tell me what you need. I've never lived on, you know, Gage Street, Taggart, Country Homes, anywhere like that. I've only lived in Hodges. So, like I said, I don't know what some of these citizens and communities need, and that's where we got to reach out, and I need the advice. Because, like I said, I'm running for sheriff. I don't know everything. So,
okay. All right. So, I think that actually in that march yesterday, they felt that there were some issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how if you were sheriff, would you have handled that yesterday when they were asking these questions?
I think yesterday they wanted to ask you a bunch of questions. I don't think the timing was right. I don't think the place was right. I think you bring them in out of the elements, you sit down, and you have that discussion, and you listen to folks. Some of the stuff that I heard was, you know, you could tell the training. They're worried about the training. Let's stop it before it happens. And it goes back to overhauling our training division.
Okay. All right. Well, I kind of think you're right. You need to sit down in a quiet environment and hear out things.
Because, I mean, there was a lot. Dennis done a good job at trying to, but there was so much coming at him. And the chief did a good job trying to, but you got to admit, we've got a problem. We just need it. We've got a plan, and we've got to fix it.
Absolutely. And you know, I think it was very nice that it was a very respectful march.
Yes, I agree with that.
And it didn't go out of hand. I know a lot of businesses in Uptown Greenwood were very concerned, mm-hmm. closed early because of it. I think businesses shouldn't have to worry like that, though, too.
I totally agree. I think they had a right to be there. I think they had a right, and they were right by what they were doing, understanding we don't agree with what that guy did up there. To Mr. Floyd, it was wrong, no way around it. And we handled Greenwood, handled it, the people of Greenwood, the law enforcement handled it the best way it could.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, we are coming up to the top of the hour. Is there anything we have missed on your platform here? Or anything? I want to give you 2 minutes to tell people why they should vote for Chad Cox for sheriff on Tuesday if they haven't already voted or they've got some time left to vote.
I want to be the sheriff of Greenwood County because I want to put us back to where we need to be. I want to make sure we got the safest community in the state of South Carolina. I want to make sure we got the best sheriff's office in the state of South Carolina. I feel like Tuesday is a very important day of voting for this position of sheriff. I think we've got to get it done. Anybody has any questions or calls or comments or want to know what my platform's on anything, you can reach me at 864-323-4345. Vote Chad Cox for sheriff.
Okay, say that again. You said that so fast people couldn't get it there, Chad.
864-323-4345. That is my personal cell phone number. Please feel free to call me and let me know. I love to hear from everybody.
I think I read in one of the things that you wrote that you would not be changing your cell phone if you were elected sheriff. I thought that was interesting.
When I left sheriff's office, I gave up a number of 20-something years, and that was the aggravatingest thing, not having my same cell phone number and people trying to get new people and lost numbers and all that. So that will be my phone till I am to the dead and gone.
Till they pry that cord, that phone from your hand.
Now you sound like my wife. As soon as they pry that phone out of my hand.
All right. Well, you have been listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. I know that this is it's a dream, but it's also going to be a lot of work.
It is going to be a lot of work. We're up to the task. There's a lot of great men and women that work at the Greenwood County Sheriff's Office, and there's no doubt if I'm elected, there we will have a great group of people to walk into day one.
Well, good luck.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. You've been listening to Chad Cox right here on WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. You want to give him that cell phone that's going to be yours till the day you die?
It's 864-323-4345.
4345. Okay, everybody, that's going to do it for me. We'll be posting this. Should be able to post it tomorrow on Facebook. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Chad, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you for having me.